We're talking about walking across rooms right now to be able to share Christ to others. And we do have a great opportunity, like you heard about in the scoop, to do that as a church next Saturday. I heard from my brother this week, and the order of batteries are in, and he's UPSing them, so they should be here. And we'll be here at 10 o'clock getting ready to walk across the room in our community and show them that we love them through giving away some batteries, and really hope to see you at 10 next week. There are a lot of those people in our world that are running right now, and they're looking for Christ, and you never know what little step like that is going to make a difference, just to make their hearts open. You never know. Well, friends, I don't know about you, but in this past week, as we've been talking about things like just walking across rooms, and as I spent time in my life group doing the same thing this week, and looking at entering zones of the unknown, I just found myself being much more aware of people around me. Anybody else been more aware of people that are around you this week as you've been out in public? Just kind of notice people more. And you know, that's worth the whole thing. If we start just paying attention to who's around us, to those people that are running in the wrong direction, that need somebody to embrace them and get to know them. One very small example of this for me and how this series is helping me, and really as I've experienced it in the past as well, is a little over a week ago, I was over visiting our job site at the new build, and some of us on the interior team. If you don't know, there's an interior team, a team that's been working on making sure all the colors are right and the floors are right, and everything's going to be awesome over there, and they're doing a great job. But we were over there with the interior team getting a demonstration of some of the work they're doing on the floor. And after we wrapped up, the team had left, and I was just standing around talking to the guys who were working on the floor. And it was a busy scene that day. There were people working on the outside of the building. There were people on the roof. There were people working on the inside of the building. And as I was walking away that day, looking across the room, across the building, I saw these two guys looking over some drawings, on the inside of the building. And I recognized one of the young men who was there as somebody who just graduated from Old Fort High School last year. A couple times at some functions at the school, I had just said hi to him, or he was involved in some music, so I said, "You did a good job," and connected that way, but never, ever have had a discussion with him whatsoever. I think I ran out into him in public one other time when he was working somewhere and said a word to him. But I saw him across the room, and I intentionally took a walk across the room to go over and to say hi to him. And I said, "So you've been part of the crew that's been putting the roof on the building?" And he said, "No." I said, "No, I'm on the crew that's going to be inside. We're going to be putting up the walls and the drywall and stuff. We're just getting started." And we didn't go to any real great distance in that conversation. We didn't go real deep. We didn't get into a whole lot, but it just began a conversation. And I asked him if he liked the work that he was doing. I said, "Doesn't it feel good to work hard and to go home at night and know you've put in a good day's work?" And said, "You know, maybe I'll be seeing you around on the job site again. And I'm looking forward to that happening." Now, I'm not going to tell you that the only reason I took the walk across the room that day was because of the series that we're in, Just Walk Across the Room. But I will tell you that I know that I walked across the room to speak to this guy because I've been through this series before. And because of other parts of my life, I've learned that that's really the heart of God, that what he wants us to do. And it was that motivation of just walking across the room that caused me to do that. And by following the Spirit's leading, I had an opportunity to speak to him. And I will also tell you that there's a lot of times I've not followed the Spirit's leading when God has led me to do that, and I haven't been willing. But when you do, you always know it's the right thing. I look forward to running into him again over there on the work site as he's helping to build our building and continue to maybe try to form a friendship with him or a bit of a relationship. And who knows, maybe someday he'll be one that walks in the doors of that church that he got to work on to maybe come to a service in that church and experience or come to worship in that church. Who knows? Maybe that connection will happen at some point. Another beautiful way that we're connecting to people on that work site is there's a group that every Thursday is feeding the workers a hot lunch. How many of these guys on these work sites, these hardworking men, have ever experienced that before? That the people they're building for bring them something to eat. I think that's probably never happened for most or all of them. Perhaps it may just strike in one of them or two a connection to Christ and the love of Christ shared in a practical way, in a way they've not had before. And maybe it'll help them to realize that what they're part of building over there is more than just a facility. And maybe some point in time when they're open to Jesus and they're looking for a place to connect, they'll come in the doors of that building that they helped put up because they connected to Christ in some way through some people serving them. Who knows? But what an opportunity to be a part of that. Friends, here's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand that we're all in this together. We're all in this together. I'm learning right alongside of you. The whole reason that we're committing these 4 weeks to talking about just walking across the room to this experience together is because it's going to help us to grow into that kind of a people. The reason we're doing that is because we're in it all together. We want to be a people who get used to pointing people who are far away from God to a faith in Him. And the reason that we want to point people toward faith in Jesus Christ is because pointing people toward faith in Christ is what God's heart beats for. It's where His passion lies, leading others into a relationship with Him. He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to reach people who are lost and who are far from God, right? Isn't that what He did? To help them to find Jesus. And for those of us who truly desire to become more like Jesus in our lives, I've got some good news for you. You're going to become the most like Jesus when you help others who are far from Him to find Him. Does that make sense? Well, let's pray as we get ready to get into this week's edition of Just Walking Across the Room. Let's go to God. God, I just want Your Spirit to move. I want to be completely out of the way. I want Your words to connect to our heart, that You challenge us with Your heart. For reaching hearts that are beating out there in our world, who are like the woman in the song we just heard about, who feel like they have a scarlet letter on their chest. That there's no way that anybody can love them, that any God can love them, that they can be forgiven, that we can walk across the room and reach out a hand and bring them Jesus. God, just speak to us with that this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Last week, if you remember, we started talking about sharing Christ by just walking across the room. We talked about the opportunity that we have to give the greatest gift to others that anyone can possibly give, an introduction to the God who created them and who loves them. And to do that, we have to be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit's prodding and be willing to enter into the zone of the unknown. Places that are a little uncomfortable for us at times, by voluntarily stepping out of our own circles of comfort and being open to engaging someone who might need a touch from God. And with that goal in mind, let's dive into this week's content. This morning, what we're going to be talking about is what happens once you make that walk across the room that we talked about. Once you make the decision to actually do it, what should you be thinking about? What should you be praying about and talking about in the zone of the unknown once you step foot in it? Because you know what? If you're like me, you might think, well, walking across the room is one thing. I can do that. But what do I do when I get there? What do I do when I get to that person? How do I reach out to them and when I reach the destination and begin a relationship with them? Doing that's quite another thing than just walking. So this week, we're going to explore what Bill Hybels calls in his book, Living in 3D. Living in 3D. And the 3D framework operates on what you might already have figured out, three different Ds. So the first D of living in 3D is this. First D we have to do is develop friendships. That's what we're trying to do as we walk across the room. We're starting to develop friendships. Walk across the room, people are constantly looking for an open door of starting a new friendship with another person. If we want to reflect the Father's heart as individuals and as the church, then we must be kind of in this search mode all the time, making it a habit to reach out to new relationships, new friendships that are on the horizon. That's the heart of Christ followers, and we want to become more like, become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That becomes the heartbeat, that we're in search mode for these others, watching for ways to connect with people, looking for friendships in the making. Now, this is the way that, friends, that it should be, mind you. This is the way that things ought to be for Christ followers all across the globe. Christ followers ought to be extending their hand in friendship wherever they can. That might lead to some spiritual happenings in the lives of these friendships. This is the way that it should be. But in all actuality, it's often not this way. Let me see if I can explain the dynamic of often what happens in our lives with Christ and with others. Often what happens is this: a person comes to Christ, they become a Christian, and they're pretty excited about that in the beginning and about what they've experienced. And as they grow in that relationship with Christ, their excitement often is going to lead them in this newfound faith to want to share that experience with their family and their friends that perhaps haven't yet experienced Jesus Christ in that way. So maybe early in the walk with Christ, they invite others to come to church. They invite others to come to their life group or to come to their Bible study. They share their story of what Christ has done in their life with these other people they think can benefit from knowing Jesus Christ. So for this person, things are as they should be. He or she is growing in Christ with a growth. With that growth comes a corresponding acceptance of others to know Christ's love as well, and it's all good. However, over time, what typically happens is that as that person grows, as that person matures, he or she also tends to find a transformation happening in their friendships and their relationships. They tend to hang out with people. We tend to hang out with who's like us, don't we? So our circle of comfort, our friends, tends to be those people then who are in the faith. Other Christians, other people who are in Christ, because we've maybe led them to Christ or maybe we've met them somewhere, but they're like us. And again, it's all good, right? But then something strange takes place. Things turn out to maybe not being so good. After many months or maybe many years, this person's life becomes almost nearly 100% consumed by friends who love Jesus, by other Christians. And that part's good, except that that person no longer now is able to reach out. They no longer have contact with those who aren't in Christ. He or she no longer feels that initial enthusiasm for sharing Christ with people that are outside of the faith. We much less embrace friends who don't yet know Christ, mostly because those aren't the people that we hang out with any longer. They're not in our circle of comfort. Friends, it's largely has much less to do with our passion waning as it does our proximity decreasing. Do you remember last week we talked about proximity, about being salt and light in the world, and in order for you to be salty and savory, to impact the world and to be a light that shines into the darkness, you have to have proximity with the darkness. You have to have proximity with others that they can pick up your savoriness to affect them for Christ. Often Christ followers in the church have very few intentional relationships with those who aren't yet in Christ because our proximity to those becomes far from them. We're greatly decreased in our use in bringing people to Christ over the years. If you think about it, this whole dynamic that makes our circles of comfort so doggone comfortable is the fact that there are people like us that are in our circles of comfort. Almost all of us find it quite easy to love some people, don't we? Maybe a spouse, or our parents, or our kids, or friends at work, or friends in church. It's easy to love those people. When we see these people, our initial response is love. We're filled with joy when we see these people, when they come to our minds. And you can relate to that, right? You know what I'm saying? It's easy to love those who are in a circle of comfort, those who are like us. It's true, almost every human being has a loving heart toward some people. But here's what maybe is not so easy for us to admit. Almost every human being has a loving heart toward some people, but often we also have a secret list of people who are different from us that maybe we're not so warm toward, that maybe we even can't really stand. Maybe it's someone who hurt you. Maybe it's a business partner that ripped you off. Maybe it's a spouse or a loved one who walked out on you. Maybe it's someone who's wounded you with their words or with their actions. You might have reasons. They may be really good reasons for not liking certain people in your life. But do you know what? It even gets more complex than that. Some of us aren't so warm towards or don't like whole groups of people. Maybe they think different than you. Maybe they vote different than you. Maybe they come from a different ethnic group. Maybe they come from a different socioeconomic class. Maybe they live in a different lifestyle that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you. Maybe they got tattoos and piercings, or maybe you're the one with the tattoos and piercings and you don't understand us that don't. Who knows what the case is, but you know what I'm saying. Friends, we may not want to admit it, and we may not even think of it very often, but the truth of the matter is that we tend to have our circle of comfort around those who act like us, who look like us, and do our whole lot like us. We have built in qualifiers and filters, and when we're asked to love someone who's outside of that circle of comfort, well, that might just shake us up a bit. It might feel a little bit too risky. You know what? Jesus ran into this conflict. He did, but it wasn't his conflict. It was the Pharisees and the religious leaders' conflict. They struggled with the people that Jesus was choosing to walk across the room to meet. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus is seen in the marketplace setting having conversation with people who were irreligious, people who were really far from God, far from the Father, who had made lots of mistakes. These people painted outside of the lines. They used terrible language. They drank too much. They slept in the wrong beds. They cheated other folks out of money. And the list goes on and on. He's interacting with them. He's talking. He's listening. He's enjoying fellowship with these people. And in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" And as the scene plays out, we notice that the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, become a little troubled. Troubled in their spirits. Actually, they think the whole deal is utterly scandalous because the people who Jesus is interacting with are the exact same people who's on their list. These are the exact people that the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they're not too warm towards. They don't particularly like these people. They had the thought that certainly God had a certain people, a certain kind of people that he loves, but he also must have a list of some people that absolutely disgust him. And these people he's hanging out with right now must be on that list. Well, Jesus hears their grumbling. He sees their hearts, and he springs into action. He tells three of the most famous stories in Scripture, one right after another, in kind of a rapid-fire motion. The first is about a lost sheep. The second is about a lost coin. And the third is about a wayward son. He starts with a big number scale. He talks about 100 sheep, and then he narrows it down to 10 coins, and then he narrows it down to one son. Do you see the point that's taking shape? You probably know these stories. I've touched on these stories before. There are 100 sheep, and one dumb one wanders away, creates this great big hassle and mess. One goes off and gets lost. Then there are these 10 coins, and one of them gets misplaced. And then there's a boy who wants his inheritance from his father early, which in that society was like saying to his father, "You're as good as dead to me. I want my inheritance. I want my money right now." And once he gets the money in his hand, he's off to a foreign land and blows it in wine, women, and song. Jesus tells these three interesting stories. What do these three stories have in common? First is this. In each of these stories, something wound up missing. A sheep was missing. A coin was missing, and a son was missing. Second, in each of these stories, that which was missing really mattered to somebody. The lost sheep really mattered to the shepherd. The lost coin was one of 10. This lady had 10 coins. This was a tenth of her estate that was gone. That last coin really mattered to this woman. And the lost son undoubtedly really mattered to his father. What was Jesus trying to communicate to the religious leaders with this triple-loaded metaphor? Could it be, friends, Could it be that the father's heart was not at all like their heart, like the religious leader's heart? Could it be that Jesus was saying is that the father's heart is indiscriminately loving? Indiscriminately loving. That what Jesus was saying is that those irreligious, immoral, profane individuals that he was talking to, was Jesus trying to say that they actually mattered to the Father? That they're actually on his love list? And could it be that he's saying that God the Father, he doesn't have a hate list? Could it be that God loves all people, that they all matter to him, and it doesn't matter what a single one has done, he doesn't want a single solitary lost soul to go to hell, and that we need to develop friendships even with people who are radically different than we are. Amen. Friends, we need to radically accept whoever is standing on the other side of the room, whoever it is. No matter what, living in 3D begins with developing friendships, maybe with those who are quite different than you and me. Here's the second D of living in 3D. We develop the friendships. The second D is to discover stories. Discover their stories. And I want to share with you a personal story of a friendship that I and Caroline and I had developed years ago. For the sake of privacy, I'm going to change names in the story. But this is a real story. Caroline and I, and one of the churches where I was serving in the associate role, one day we walked across the room in our church to a new couple that was visiting, and we started to form a friendship with them, a relationship. She happened to be a manager at a Wendy's in the town. And at that Wendy's, there was a whole bunch of young people working there. And I don't believe that this young lady, even at the point, knew God yet. But all these people that she was working with started getting this interest in God, and they started talking to her, and she brought one of them into me. And then we were talking more, and we decided to do a life group, to do a Bible study right in this couple's home with these Wendy's workers. So we had this Wendy's small group with these people who were kind of seeking God in their home. And the story's really more today about her husband than it is about her or these other Wendy's workers. At this Bible study, what her husband would do the whole time we were doing a study is he had a notepad, and he would take notes, and he would write questions. The whole time he'd write questions. When we got done with a study, he would sit with me, and he'd just roll off one question after another, and I would do my best to answer his questions. We're going to call him Pete. And here's the story of Pete and his wife's story. They didn't get together and get married in the traditional fashion. They were really a fling. And ended up, she got pregnant. They probably never would have gotten married. They didn't even really know each other very well, but they decided to become intimate and surprise. And the next step was they went ahead and married. By the time we met them, and I think probably the whole time that they were married, their marriage was on the rocks. He was not faithful. It was really pretty ugly. And their marriage is on the rocks, but we're building this friendship, this relationship with them. And then at some point, Pete went on a Promise Keepers weekend with me and some other men from the church. And if you know what Promise Keepers is, it was these big weekends they used to have in football stadiums. And there'd be speakers there talking about being a godly man. And at that weekend, there was an evangelist there, maybe some of you have heard of, called Luis Palau. And Luis Palau gave the gospel message, and thousands of men came down to the platform on the field. And Pete was one of them. And went down to accept Christ. But friends, at that point, Pete accepted Christ right here in his head, but not right here in his heart. He never moved that 16 inches down. He was very intellectual. He was always asking questions. He was getting it figured out here, but he hadn't yet figured it out here. So when he came home, things didn't change much for Pete. He continued to not be too good with his wife and to mess around on her. We didn't know that was going on at the time. I learned that later on in the story. Their marriage then eventually failed. And then our paths kind of separated a bit for a couple years. But Pete got into a live-in relationship with a girlfriend from high school at that point, and they intended to get married. He started getting back connected with the church when he came to meet with the lead pastor in the church for premarital counseling. But something in Pete's heart and through all that time and his story, God had been working. And Pete knew that he wasn't in a right place. And he finally called off the relationship, leaving the girl desperate and leaving himself desperate. And that's when Pete walked back into my life. A couple years later, he came to see me in my office at the church, and he just was broken. He just was crying. His life, he had utterly wrecked his life. His finances were messed up. He was struggling to keep a job. He had another broken relationship. He was a mess. But he was finally at a broken place where he was open to God like he had never been open before. And as I was there meeting with him, I felt this prodding from the Holy Spirit that I needed to ask for his forgiveness. Because you see, the time that we knew them and we were together as couples, I knew his marriage stunk. I knew they were broken and having problems, and I didn't offer any coaching to him. I didn't offer him any accountability. I didn't try to help him. I saw it happening and watched it just dwindle away, and I didn't feel like I had done anything. And in that time, I felt like God was telling me that I needed to ask his forgiveness for that. So I asked him to forgive me for not helping when I knew his marriage was hurting, and he just broke. His jaw dropped, and he said, "You're asking for me to forgive you?" He couldn't figure out how he could possibly be forgiven for anything. "You're asking for me to forgive you after all I've done and where I've been? How can you do that?" And I believe it was at that point that Pete finally grasped what the forgiveness of God was about. And he embraced Jesus into his heart for, I believe, the really first time. And from that point, Pete's life began to really change. He began to be transformed. He'd stop and he would see Caroline and I, and he'd stop and see me, and we'd have these long conversations. He's reading the Bible. He's reading these other books. He's growing like crazy. And over a few years period of time, he came to the point that he got a job and he got more secure. He moved to Columbus. He got involved in a church, a biblical church in Columbus. And when he was there, he met this young lady who loved God. And years later, they ended up getting married. And they ended up leading a small group for Christian finances. And he helped to start a drama ministry in the church. And he played a role in their vacation Bible school. And after a couple of years together, they had a child together. Friends, I want you to understand from this story something very important when we talk about discovering stories. A person's story isn't something you hear in a moment. You learn their story over a period of time. And what our job is to do is not just learn their story, but figure out how we can step into their story. That's what we're talking about by developing a story. Not I walk across the room, "Hey, I'm Mark. What's your story?" "Great, I know that. Now we can go on to the next step." We're talking a period of years here with this individual. Years before his heart was ready and a place that he could embrace Christ, where we were discovering his story together and stepping in and out of it with one another along the way. It began with developing a friendship. It continued with discovering the story, and that leads us to the third D in 3D living. The final thing is to discern the next steps. Discern the next steps. As we walk across the room and stick out a hand to a friendship and we begin learning and stepping into somebody else's story, we need to constantly be attuning ourselves to the Holy Spirit's leading and prodding, his role in the whole thing. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, he said, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered the seed, but God grew it." Who grew it? God made it grow. "So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." This verse ought to relax us a little bit. It relaxes us a great deal when we talk about walking across the room to form these relationships. Why? Because, friends, it tells us that our job is simply to be attuned to the Holy Spirit so that we can plant and water. Just plant and water. That's what our job is. Each encounter we have walking across the room, every aspect of friendship that we develop in their stories, we're learning to simply the efforts of planting the seeds and watering them. just keep, when I was involved in Pete's life and Caroline was involved in his life, just planting the seeds and watering them. That's all we did. It may be that you're planting some of the first seeds in that person's life, or maybe you're coming along and you're watering the seeds that somebody else has already planted there. Regardless, be clear on the fact that it's not your responsibility and it's not my responsibility alone to make that person grow and embrace Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us that the growth part of the equation is God's role. It's the Holy Spirit's role. It's the Holy Spirit's job in their life. Through the Holy Spirit, God's going to use those seeds. He's going to use that watering, and he's going to bring growth into each person's life. So our role through this whole thing requires that we be in prayer continually, asking for discernment and knowing what our next steps need to be. Father, I want to be attuned to your Spirit. God, I want you to lead me. I don't want to act on my own whim or my own notion. I want to act in direct of your prodding. To know what to do next, to know what to say, how to act, when to listen and when to speak, when to initiate and when to be quiet, how to love, how to plant, how to water. Lead me by your Spirit, O God. Give me discernment in my next steps. Friends, as we wrap up today, I want to leave you with this challenge, and I want to leave me with this challenge. Let's commit to living in 3D. Living in 3D, develop friendships with all sorts of people, even people who look and act different than you. Discover stories by actually stepping into those stories, into people's lives. Remember to keep your focus on the other person. We have one mouth and two ears. That means we should listen twice as much as we speak. Learn their stories. And three, discern next steps, letting the Spirit guide our every action. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for the people that you place in our lives with the intent of helping us to plant some seeds and to water some seeds. When the ladies in our church take a meal over to the guys working on Thursday, they're planting and they're watering some seeds over there. When we walk across the hallway in the school, as students are here, and we reach out a hand to somebody who looks or acts different than us that maybe nobody else is going to talk to, we're planting and we're watering some seeds that are there. When we're at work, maybe we're on the factory line, or maybe we're in the office, or maybe we're in a field, so we're making the exchange that we need to at the seed company or someplace like that, and we take the walk across the field or across the room or across the factory floor just to give out a hand of friendship, to plant some seeds and to water them. God, allow us to develop friendships and to start to discover some stories that we can step into in people's lives, and then just to discern the lead of your Spirit that others will blossom and bloom and grow. Maybe we don't get to see them grow. Maybe we plant the seeds, we water, and it's down the road that they actually open up to you. Or maybe it's a few years later, like Pete, where they step back into your life, and now they're finally ready. But God, just make us faithful to do our job, to plant and to water, to plant and to water, to plant and to water, to make friendships, to make relationships, to discover stories and live into them. God, give us your discernment in that effort, that we can live 3D for you every day of our life. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Well, friends, we're going to get ready to move across the street here very quickly. We told 8:30 service that we'd be there at 11:30, so you got a little bit of time. Don't go grabbing to eat or anything. I don't think the local McDonald's is open yet, so you can just wait. But you're welcome to drive over and park in the lot over there. You don't have to walk. There is some caution tape by the front door that they told me I can remove when we get there. And there's some floor that they've worked on, but we're welcome to walk right on it. And when we get there, we'll have some Sharpie markers. There are some that are on the table here you can grab. I'm going to have like three boxes of them too. Bring your scripture verses. We'll have some prayer, and we'll just write God's word on the beams of that building, because his house shall be a house of his word. build on his word, and we're going to pray and do all that there. God's word does not return void. So we're going to place it all over the building. So we'll see you over there shortly.